week, it speaks about this life, the first man, being likened unto soulish, and the life to come as being spiritual, and it says this, howbeit, that is not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, then that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And I want us to look a little bit about not the soulish man, Adam and the likes, but the Lord from heaven, that man. And we'll look in Luke 13. We're going to see references primarily in Luke and then in Hebrews to see something about this Lord from heaven. If I had time, I would go into detail showing you how the Lord from heaven, as he's spoken of in 1 Corinthians 15, it could be referring to him when he came down to heaven from heaven the first time. But if you look at the context tells us it's the Lord who is going to come from heaven the second time. However that might be, this Lord from heaven is the spiritual man. We've spoken about he who is spiritual, and now we get the embodiment, the example of the spiritual man, and that is our Lord. And so in Luke 13, verse 31, in that very hour there came certain Pharisees saying to him, get thee out and go hence, for Herod would fain kill thee. And he said unto them, go and say to that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I am perfected. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. Now, concerning our Savior, he said, the next to the last thing he said on the cross was, it is finished. And the word perfected is a cognate word of these two. I can only tell you, and then you will have to check them out. A cognate word of the words teleao and teleo, which means to perfect, to accomplish, to complete, to bring to an end, to finish, something of that sort. And the Lord Jesus says here, a little differently from what we read in John's Gospel, it is finished. He says this in verse 32. Look again. And he said unto them, go and say to that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I am perfected. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the third day, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. In John's Gospel, the Savior said, it is finished. And the word finished is like the word here, perfected, completed. And he says, the third day I am completed, brought to a consummation. What God had in mind and in store for me is consummated. And the difference is this, that in John's Gospel, Christ speaks of things that have been completed and perfected. In Luke's Gospel, the Savior speaks of himself as being perfected. They are like, in this respect, there are things to be perfected by Christ coming to earth. But while Christ is perfecting, he himself is being perfected. Keep that in mind. Here, Christ himself tells us, and the only gospel that speaks of his being perfected is Luke's gospel. But, turn to Hebrews now. I want to read these scriptures because I don't know how much time I'll have to speak on all these verses, but I can at least read them to you. In Hebrews chapter 2, and all of these words are like the one that I just read to you. Hebrews 2, verse 9, but we behold him who hath been made a little lower than the angels, even Jesus, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste of death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifies and they that are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Notice here, it says, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation, or the author of their salvation, perfect through sufferings. Now chapter 5, quickly turn to chapter 5, and look at verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, having offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him who was able to save him out of death, and having been heard for his godly fear, though he was a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became unto all them that obey him the author of eternal salvation, named of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. In chapter 7, look at verse 26. For such an high priest became us, holy, guileless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily like those high priests to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appointed men high priests having infirmity, but the word of the oath which was after the law appointed a son, perfected forevermore. This is the same word that I've read to you in the last two chapters, but the King James, for some reason, translates it sanctified, but it is perfected in chapter 2, in chapter 5, and it's the identical word perfected here. The law appointed a son, perfected forevermore. All right, this is what we have. In Luke chapter 13, when our Savior says, I must go on my way today and tomorrow, and the third day I am perfected, he tells us two things. He tells us that his perfection lay in the future, that it was not as yet consummated, and at this point in his life, he was not perfected. He himself says that. He himself speaks of a perfection to which he had not as yet arrived. In the epistle to the Hebrews, it is not Christ who speaks of that perfecting, but it is the Spirit of God and the author of Hebrews who speaks of that perfecting. He speaks here anticipatively as if the perfecting were already accomplished. He says, the third day I am perfected. And finally, in Hebrews chapter 7, it says that the Lord Jesus Christ is perfected forevermore. And so Christ speaks of it, and the Father speaks of it. And here is what we learn. It says in chapter 5, who in the days of his flesh. The mistake that most Christians make is that they have never read just how God intended to redeem mankind, just what God intended when the Lord Jesus Christ entered into the days of his flesh. Now, most of us assume that since he is God manifest in the flesh, he will be exempt from this, he will possess this, but when you approach it that way, you are wrong. Inasmuch as there has never been another man exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ, we simply read that the Word was with God and the Word was God and the Word became flesh. And in Hebrews chapter 5, it says, who in the days of his flesh, and so God has told us that the Word has become flesh. Now, how God is going to redeem me by his Son, I have no idea. That he had a son, I did not know. That he was going to redeem me with that son, I did not know. That he was going to send his son from heaven, I did not know. And once he has sent his son from heaven, the way that the Lord Jesus is going to enter into flesh, I do not know. I have to take all of these things the way God tells me. And it tells me that The Holy Spirit is going to overshadow Mary. The power of the Most High shall come upon her. Wherefore also that holy thing which shall be begotten of thee shall be called the Son of God. And so the days of his flesh are going to come into existence through the womb of a woman. The Lord Jesus was not made like the first Adam, of the dust of the ground, created mature, complete, the breath of life breathed into his nostrils, and he becomes a living soul. But the Lord Jesus, unlike Adam, is developed a 9-month course in the womb of a woman, and then in the days of his flesh, he is going to make progress. You have to understand that. You and I are guilty of this, that since we know he is God manifest in the flesh, we say he is God manifest in the flesh. But this scripture tells us that he was God manifest in the flesh. That being God manifest in the flesh, he is not going to have all the attributes of deity imparted to him immediately, completely, but he is going to make progress. He is going to develop in the womb. He is going to be born, and he is going to increase. I told you this, that whenever the Lord Jesus says, my God, that means that he has become man. His manhood is stated. When it says in the Bible that the Lord Jesus is perfected, it means that he's a man. It means that God, when he sent his son to earth, did not send him with complete wisdom, fully strengthened and developed and mature, but he came into the world as a babe. You remember? The shepherds were told, you'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And the mother had to nurse that child. He who upheld the earth was upheld upon the bosom of his mother. And he who feeds the world at the same time was fed from the breast of his mother. This is what God is telling us. And it says that Jesus, and I'm going to quote this verse to you, remember. It says in chapter 2, verse 40, and then in chapter 2, verse 52, it says that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And whenever you find the word mentioned concerning Christ, that he increased, it is his manhood. As God, he knew everything. He possesses all the attributes of deity. But God has seen fit that when his son became man, that Jesus would increase. Notice, and Jesus increased in wisdom, and God does not increase in wisdom. God knows the end from the beginning. But when Jesus became manifest in the flesh, he did not put away any of his deity. He did not lay aside any of his attributes. But his humanity was taught, it developed, it increased. And God has told you that in the second chapter of Luke. The Word has become flesh, and how is this flesh going to develop? Now, God could have done it the way that you and I say, well, I think that he knows everything at once. But as God manifests in the flesh, he does not. It says Jesus increased in wisdom. If he knew everything at once, he could not increase in wisdom. The Lord Jesus is a man who is developing. If he is fully mature, as Adam was brought into existence, he would not increase in stature. He would not increase in favor with God and man. And you have to see how God tells us this God-man lives and moves upon the earth. And you cannot presume to say, well, since he's God, he has to know everything. Then you've denied that he increased in wisdom. You say, well, if I say he increases in wisdom, I've denied his deity. No, you haven't. You have simply confessed that you are not able to comprehend this one who is called that holy thing. And so simply read the Bible and accept it exactly as it is. And I've read you from Luke 2, and I've read you from Luke 13, and I've read you from Hebrews 2 and 5 and 7. I've given you 5 scriptures that say that progress was made in Christ's life as a man, and that that progress was constant, and that that progress was perfect, and the end that God had for his son was realized, and when it was realized, then he will develop no more. It says in Hebrews 7, he is perfected forevermore. Now you and I shall never attain that. You and I in this world shall go from strength to strength and we'll never be completely strong. And even in heaven we will keep learning and growing and developing. But it says that the Lord Jesus Christ is perfected forevermore. And so our Savior had a course on earth that he followed, and during that course that had stages, he developed in every stage. He was never imperfect. Remember that. To say, the third day I am perfected, it does not mean that he is imperfect today, but it means at this stage he has not fully realized the perfection that ultimately shall be his. And the thought is this: if you mothers have brought children into the world, and the little thing came into the world and had no teeth, you do not say, well, I brought forth an imperfect child. I know. The child is perfectly normal and healthy. And if the little thing cannot see at first, you say, well, I brought a blind child into the world. No. You brought a perfectly normal, healthy child into the world, and God in time will give those little eyes the ability to see, and those little feet and hands that are moving the ability to pick up things that they are not supposed to and walk where they are not supposed to. And so that child is not imperfect. And so what God has done is this. He has seen fit to let his child, his son, because the thought tonight and the subject is the perfecting of the Son of God, he has seen fit to let him develop in a perfect, normal, physical way. Because listen to these four things. I could give you an entire message on this, but I just want you to remember it. It said he increased in wisdom, then that is mental, in stature, that is physical, and in favor, and the word favor is grace. He increased in grace or favor with God, that is spiritually, and with man, that is socially. Never forget those things, because so many Christians just think of a spiritual development. But listen to Christ. There is a mental development. He increased in wisdom and in stature. You say, well, the body, it doesn't mean anything. It does. Your body is the shrine of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Lord Jesus, that body of his, when he was publicly manifested, the Spirit of God came upon him as a dove. And here is a body that was perfectly developed, that had never been desecrated in any manner for all those years. And now the Spirit of God came upon that body. And it says, he increased in favor with God and man. And so every day, he pleased his Father. He pleased him as an infant. He pleased him when he was 12 years old. He pleased him when he was in his teens. He pleased the Father when he was 30 years of age. And he pleased him at the end of his life. The Lord Jesus said, and what shall I say? Father, glorify thy name. And the Father said, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again. And so the Lord Jesus went from strength to strength, never being weak, but simply not yet having attained to that stage of development that his Father thought was suitable for that time in his life. And so, Christian, do not feel disappointed if at the age of 12, you cannot do what those that are 18 can do. And at the age of 18, what those at the age of 50 can do. And those at the age of 80, like unto Moses when he started out his work with God. And so the Lord has told us that God has seen fit, when God was manifest in the flesh, not to let his flesh know everything all at once. God could have done it that way. And some of my brethren get so worried when I bring these scriptures to their mind, as if we were denying the deity of Christ. He's fully God, but his manhood has development. And to deny it is to deny the plain teaching of the Word of God. The five scriptures that I've told you. He said it in verse 40 as well. It tells us twice about the development of Jesus Christ. And the word is so important, because it says in the King James, he increased. The 1901 translates it advanced. But the word is prokopto. It means he was cutting his way forward. And that is illustrating Hebrews chapter 5. It says, though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And so it was not that Jesus Christ went through life without feeling, without trial, without weight, without increased pressure. But just as we go from strength to strength, so the Lord Jesus Christ was given greater responsibilities day by day. And let me illustrate this. Tell me, at what stage in the life of our Savior was He in an agony, praying and sweating, as it were, great drops of blood? Was it in the first year of His ministry? You say, no. The second year? No. You'll find in His prayer life, and Luke brings that out most fully, you'll find that at times the Lord Jesus Christ rose early in the morning to pray, to commune with His Father. That was training. And then He prayed all night long before He chose the ones that He was to send forth to be with Him. And then in the Garden of Gethsemane, He fell upon His face in sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Do you see the development in His prayer life? And in every aspect of His life, it becomes increasingly difficult. Now, the Lord Jesus prayed to His Father, spoke certain words to His Father. In John 11, He said this, just before He called Lazarus forth from the dead. He said, I thank Thee, Father, that Thou heardest me, and I knew that Thou always heardest me. But upon the cross He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Why art Thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? He said, I cry unto Thee, and You are silent. And so the Lord Jesus upon the cross is now praying, not sweating as it were great drops of blood, because in the garden, having done that, He comes forth from the garden and says, the cup which my Father has given me to drink, shall I not drink it? But upon the cross He asks His God why He has forsaken Him. And His prayer life has progressively become more and more intense. And it is the Father's will, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered, and being made perfect. And so the Father was perfecting His Son. He asked of Him certain things before His public ministry. He asked of Him certain things after His public ministry. And then at the end, He requested of His Son to lay down His life for His friends. And the Lord Jesus willingly yielded to His Father's will, whatever it was. If the Father said to Him, I want you to remain in obscurity 30 years in Nazareth, the Lord Jesus said, that's fine. The greatest mind that has ever been on earth, I do not want you to go and get an education in the schools. That's all right, my Father. I do not want you to be a philosopher. I want you to work as a carpenter. Yes, Father. There was nothing that the Father asked the Lord Jesus to do that was too difficult. And so the Lord Jesus increased in all of these areas. And in every stage of His life, and in every area of His life, this spiritual man, this Lord from heaven, was perfect. He never failed a test, and He never failed to get 100 on every test. And so He was never imperfect. But at this stage in His life, there were other stages to which He would go. And this is the way the Father did it. Let me show you about the temptation, and you will see it. In His temptation by Satan, He was tempted in the area of physical needs, privation. He ate nothing for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward He hungered. And Satan came and he said to Him, if Thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be turned into bread. Now listen to His answer. That's the key. Jesus answered and said unto him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Satan said, if Thou art the Son of God, the Lord Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. Keep that in mind a moment and think of Hebrews 5. Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience. Now you and I say, well, we are sons. That means exemption, special privileges. And that's what Satan said. He said, if you are the Son of God, you are hungry. Command these stones to be turned into bread. Satan emphasizes son and privileges. The Lord Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. And in Hebrews 5, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. And so God said, in the area of privation, I'm going to have you put to the test. And after 40 days, he did not go ahead of his father, but he said, man shall not live by bread alone. He waited God's time for the gratification, not of his lusts, but of the necessities of life. And so he was tested in the area of privations, and he successfully passed that test. And now, in the area of trusting God, it says concerning the Israelites in the wilderness, they tempted God these 10 times. Can God prepare us a table in the wilderness? And Satan said, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from the temple, because it's written, he will give his angels charge concerning thee, and so forth. And the Lord Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And so in the area of presumption and trust, he was put to the test. And the Lord Jesus said, I can trust God completely. And when the time comes, he will come to my need. If I need to jump off of a temple, then when I jump, God will give his angels charge of me. And very soon you'll find that they're ready to throw him over the brow of the hill. And if I need rescuing, my Father will rescue me. I don't have to put God to the test and see if he can do it. And now that I see that you can do it, his name isn't Gideon putting out the fleece. He has complete trust in God. And so in this area, and now, in the area of compromise, Satan says, do you see all the world, the kingdoms of the world and the glories of them? He said, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give them to you. The Lord Jesus said, I'm not going to compromise. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. No compromise. I will take the kingdom and the glory when it's God's time to give it to me. I'm not going to compromise to get what is rightfully mine. Now, I mentioned that for this reason. In Luke's gospel, it says, you are they that have continued with me in my temptations. Now, the temptations come from various sources. In Luke 4, as well as Matthew 4, the source of the temptation is satanic. But in Matthew 16, the source of that temptation is apostolic, because Peter comes and he says, you are going to Jerusalem to be crucified. This can't be. Be it far from thee. And the Lord Jesus sees in the Apostle Peter satanic activity, and he says, get thee behind me, Satan. And so here is Satan in person in the wilderness, but now he's in the person of Simon Peter, but the Lord Jesus sees it. And so he is tempted not those 40 days, and he had no more temptations, but he was tempted throughout his life in the area of discouragement. In every area of life, and this is why the subject is so broad, I can only mention the things to you. Because in each chapter, having told you about the perfecting of the Son of God, it mentions he was made perfect through suffering. And then it tells us about the suffering. And so I've told you about this, and I've introduced you to it, and told you a little bit about it, but I want to tell you this. I said that while Christ was perfecting, he perfected the works of God, the Word of God, and the will of God. While perfecting, he himself was perfected. I've told you that. But the Lord Jesus, while perfecting and being perfected, perfected you. It says in Hebrews 10:14, it says, for by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And so, do you see all the perfectings that are involved in this one subject? The Lord Jesus, in all of these areas, the Word of God must be perfected. There are works that must be perfected. There is suffering that must be perfected in all of these areas. Now, let me tell you this about the suffering. It says, but we see Jesus crowned with glory and honor. It says, for the suffering of death. The suffering of death. Keep that in mind. But farther down it says, he having suffered being tempted. Now there is the suffering of death, and there is the suffering of temptation. And so the suffering of temptation is in life, but the suffering of death is the consummation of it all at the end of his life. How many have gone on well, but when they are threatened with death, they fail? Think of Elijah. Elijah seemed to be this fearless prophet of God until Jezebel sent him a letter and said, the gods do so to me and more so if your life be not as the life of one of those dead prophets of mine that you kill tomorrow about this time. And when Elijah saw it, he ran for his life. Do you see? Throughout his life, he was being perfected. But when it came to the ultimate death, why, he was afraid. And the Lord Jesus sweat, as it were, great drops of blood when he anticipated physical death and spiritual death upon the cross. But he did not run. But it says when his enemies came to arrest him, he went forth to meet them. And he said, "Whom seek ye?" And so there are the sufferings of death, and there is sufferings of temptation. And the Lord Jesus, by accepting that final suffering of death, physical death of the body, and separation from his God, being forsaken of his God, being made sin for us, having accepted that, it says, in his being perfected, it says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified," and that is we. And one other thing, it says in Hebrews 11 that the Old Testament saints, apart from us, we're not going to be made perfect. But now that the Lord Jesus has died, it speaks of the spirits of just men made perfect. And so the theme is so broad and so full, but I've introduced it to you, and I've told you a little bit about it. And so now, understand the difference of the first Adam and the last Adam, the one who is of the earth, and the Lord from heaven, the spiritual man, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that thou didst choose to send thy Son into the world as thou didst. You have told us that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. We are thankful, our Father, that you have done things this way. Let us not insist that it must be another way, but let us accept it as thou hast set it forth in thy word. Let us not take away from the one who was Son, who learned obedience, our God, the one who thrilled thy heart, because while Adam and all his descendants disobeyed, thou didst say from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And he himself said, "I do always those things that please my Father." We are thankful that thou hast set before our gaze thy Son, the Lord Jesus. For we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste of death for every man, the suffering of death by our Savior. We are thankful that now we have the Son of God perfected forevermore. And now thou dost tell us. Thou dost say to us, our Father, and the God of all grace, who called us unto his eternal glory through Jesus Christ our Lord, make you perfect in every good work, and after we have suffered a little while, shall himself perfect, establish, strengthen, settle us. And so what thou didst do in the life of thy Son, do in our lives, our Father. And as best we are able, as thy Son doth say, ye shall be perfect, even as my heavenly Father is perfect. Help us, Father, to seek to press on. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.